Back here at the Heinz Center, Monmouth 40, Iona 26. Hawks led in that opening half by Justin Robinson, 12 points, couple of assists, couple of rebounds as well. Fans, just want to let you know about a couple of things we have coming up to end the 2014-15 Monmouth basketball season. The final two home dates are obviously set, February the 26th and March the 1st. The Monmouth men's and women's teams with doubleheaders each game, again, February 26th and March the 1st. For tickets to those games, please call the Monmouth Athletics box office at 732-263-5735, or you can order your tickets online by calling Monmouth or by visiting MonmouthHawks.com. Also, we want to remind you that for the latest information on Monmouth Athletics, log on to one location, MonmouthHawks.com, and to pick up your fully custom official Monmouth University gear, you can only get it at one spot, that's ShopMonmouthHawks.com. Monmouth Iona, huge game here on Sunday afternoon. We'll take one final 60-second timeout before we're joined by Josh Newman. He'll join Steve and I here on the court of the Heinz Center to break down the first half, as well as a look ahead to the MAC tournament in Albany in a couple of weeks. Monmouth 40, Iona 26. We're back in 60 seconds on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network. We welcome you back to the Heinz Center. Monmouth 40, Iona 26 at halftime. Our halftime show is presented by the Asbury Park Press, a proud supporter of Monmouth Athletics. And speaking of the APP, Steve and I are now joined by Monmouth beat writer Josh Newman, made the trip up to New Rochelle for this game. And Josh, witness to, I think you said it off air, but Steve and I agree, one of the best 20 minutes Monmouth's played all season. Incredibly impressive after that grind out win Thursday to do this on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, they came in here, they came in with a plan, they came in very well prepared. They wanted to stop Iona from running, going up and down like Iona likes to. They wanted to get this game played in the half court, and they did, you know, a phenomenal job over the last 9 or 10 minutes. You know, Justin Robinson playing really well. Deion Jones is continuing. You know, the last 3, 4, 5 games, Deion's really been locked in, and you're getting, you know, a bunch of different things from a few different places, and it also helped that David Lowry picked up his third foul with about 5 minutes to go there in the first half and sat down.
And before we continue to look at the first half, they ran the replay on that David Lowry foul like 15 times here on the video board. And obviously, I preface it by saying I'm the Monmouth play-by-play guy, but Josh, it just looked as though every time they ran the replay, in my opinion, it became more and more clear that it was Lowry's foul.
Lowry definitely, and he was, you know, he was low-key about it. He wasn't very blatant. He kind of pushed Brady. I think Brady kind of sold it a little bit, went flying a little further than he had to. In any case, as you said, they played the video numerous times, and it did look like Lowry made contact there on the loose ball.
I'll give Iona credit. If I'm the home team, I run that once and go, hey, don't run it again, because it looked as though he was the guy that pushed him. And Steve and I said it all first half. And Steve, also, I want to kind of bring it to last game as well, a point that Josh said. When you and I called the game at St. Peter's with Matt Harmon, King Rice was incredibly adamant at how impressed he's been with Deion Jones and his development as the year's gone on, looking more for that pull-up jump shot, more of that mid-range. Steve, I know you pointed out a few times in that first half, Deion just looks so much more in control now than he did earlier this season.
Yeah, I agree, and it doesn't seem like he's forcing it as much as scouting report on Deion Jones that he's going to that right hand, and you got to stop in and try to take that charge. He's been going to the pull-up jump shot more. He's been showing more body control, down low attacking the rim. So Deion Jones has really, really turned it on as of late.
And guys, what in your respective opinions was, and mind you, there's still 20 more minutes of basketball ahead, and I can bet Tim Kloos right now is laying into his team at the halftime locker room. But Josh, we'll start with you and then Steve. Most impressive takeaway from this first 20 minutes on the Monmouth end of things?
That they overcame 9 turnovers in the first 9 or 10 minutes. They were throwing the ball all over the place. Austin Tillman got called for an iffy charge. He, you know, 2 sloppy turnovers with Cedric Kazmir guarding him. After they cleaned that up, they didn't, you know, they didn't drop their shoulders. They didn't frown. They cleaned it up. They woke up. They went on a 20-3 run, and they're up 14 at the half at the league leader, looking for the season sweep, which would be big, real big.
Steve.
To me, it's the way that Monmouth matches up with certain opponents. Monmouth does not match up very well with teams who are more physical, who like to grind you out. Manhattan, St. Peter's, Quinnipiac. But it seems like they match up great with Iona. Now, we preface that with Iona could go on a 14-0 run to start the second half. They're that good. But with the way that Monmouth's size is, Kofani, Brady, and the way that Iona doesn't play defense and Monmouth attacks the rim so strong, this isn't a poor matchup for the Monmouth Hawks if these two teams were to meet in March.
And that kind of leads us in. It's almost like he knew what I was thinking, which don't make any jokes about that. As we
kind of you guys must be friends.
To lead into our next thought, Monmouth, again, up 40-26. Josh Newman joining Steve and I here at the half on the Asbury Park Press Halftime Show. You know, guys, and Josh, I saw you tweeted it yesterday. There wasn't a day like yesterday up to this point in the league all season long. This is the only game this afternoon with Monmouth and Iona. But as we look at yesterday's Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard, it'll lead us into a discussion on some league standings. The most eye-opening score was that 65-61 decision in Lawrenceville, Niagara, coming back, beating a Matt Lopez-less Ryder team. Is that, guys, in your opinion, something we can expect out of Ryder without Matt Lopez, or was that just Niagara having their big game late in the season?
I don't want to say anything against Niagara because I think they have some young pieces, and you know, a lot of those kids are very talented. They're just young, but when you're Ryder and you have a 7-foot center, which isn't every team in the MAC, not every team has a 7-foot center, when you have a kid like that and your entire offense is running through him and you take him off the floor, there's going to be a major adjustment period. And Ryder, you know, found out just how big that adjustment period was without Lopez.
And that specific matchup too, Niagara doesn't really have a lot of size with the exception of Reed down low. Matt Lopez would obviously play a huge role in that game and would, I would assume, dominate down low. Without him, it just changes their whole team. And having size, no matter how good or bad the size is, just makes a complete difference down low. Just to pack the lane and have guys to guard. Monmouth experienced that a couple years ago when they had no size and they had Marcus Ware and Ed Wade as their big men. Ryder loses two big-time players, brings in a 7-footer, and they're right now the 2-seed.
Take a look at, I think, in my opinion, the second biggest result from yesterday in Coke Zero Out of Town scoreboard. Canisius goes to Quinnipiac, and after being down 9 in the second half, comes back and defeats the Bobcats, Steve, 65-63. Your thought first. I know you're high on the job Jim Barron is doing. That's a gritty, gut-check kind of win for the Golden Griffins.
The Golden Griffins have clinched a top 5 seed with a team that lost 4 big-time players, including the player of the year, Billy Barron, from a season ago. I think Jim Barron is doing an incredible job. Zach Lewis is a good player. Phil Valenti's a nice player, but they don't have a lot of talent up there, but they do a great job with what they have. They really play pretty good defense. They have some bigs. I like the way they hedge, screen, roll to get really, really specific on you. But Jim Barron's doing a phenomenal job.
I also agree that Jim Barron has done a great job. As you said, he lost Billy Barron. Jim Barron just knows what he's doing. You could, you know, St. Bonaventure, Rhode Island. Now he's at Canisius. Guy just does a great job everywhere he goes. He's a tremendous tactician. He takes whatever personnel he has, and he just turns them into, you know, 18, 19, 20 wins, and all of a sudden it's late February, they have a first-round bye, and they beat Iona, too. If they can get on a little run, the matchups work out in their favor, can't count them out.
Canisius, as the guys mentioned, did clinch a top-five seed at 9-8. The top-five teams have already clinched, the seeding order yet to be determined. It's Canisius, Manhattan, Monmouth, Iona, and Ryder. The third biggest result from yesterday, in my opinion, Fairfield at home, big over St. Peter's, 57-43. Peacocks trending in the opposite direction late in the season.
I was way high on St. Peter's during the offseason, during the summer. I'm pretty sure I talked to at least you. I was, and now Steve's laughing at me.
Well, me too, because he said the same thing to me on the car ride.
I was really high on St. Peter's. I thought they finished well last season. You're bringing back two legit guys in Marvin Dominique and Desi Washington, a competent point guard in Travis Weish, and it just has not panned out. They're kind of dangerous looking, with a certain matchup. Who knows? Maybe they could come, you know, charging from Thursday in the first round and make a run. But in my estimation, it has not panned out for St. Peter's.
Two teams that I looked at that were picked above Monmouth were Siena and St. Peter's. Talent-wise, I thought Monmouth was more talented. Now, could Monmouth put it all together before this year started? I don't know. But Siena has struggled this year, really due to injuries. They haven't really put it together. But St. Peter's is dangerous because they guard you, and they have Desi Washington. So if you meet them and Desi Washington bangs 6 threes and gets to the foul line and hits some big shots late, and we even saw it on Thursday night, at Desi Washington, when he gets going, he's a scary guy to go against. But boy, this has been a really fun first half, and Monmouth is showing you that they can really play with anyone.
Last score from yesterday to report is we're going to wind things up with Josh. And by the way, Steve on the drive up here goes, Just, you know, casually off the cuff, we're looking at scores. He goes, why doesn't Desi Washington shoot every time for St. Peter's? And I look to Steve. I go, you know, you're right. He should score about 40 a game. The final score is the other team Steve mentioned, Manhattan, going to Siena. It's actually Steve Masiello's first win in the Times Union Center. Bit of foreshadowing there with the conference tournament up there. And the Jaspers beat the Saints 80-74. As guys, we, again, quickly focus things here as we'll wrap up our Asbury Park Press halftime show. What does all this mean, Josh, in your opinion, heading into Albany late in 2 weeks?
Well, you should probably ask me that in 20 minutes, but whatever happens here in the second half, I think, you know, they're not much on moral victories over in West Long Branch nowadays, but so far you've played 60 minutes over two games against Iona, and you've controlled probably 52 to 55 of those minutes. Monmouth is going up there to win the MAC tournament. They're not about moral victories anymore, and this so far should show that.
I completely agree with Josh. Monmouth is good enough to win the MAC tournament. Well, obviously, what happens with matchups and the way the tournament plays out. But I think it's very exciting right now. Monmouth is good enough to win the MAC tournament and go to the NCAA tournament.
And you know what? I don't want to put Steve on an island there, because at one point during the first half, during a media, I looked at Steve and said that like a little kid on Christmas morning. And he goes, I know.
I'm sitting between two Monmouth graduates. You all have to excuse me right now.
We want to thank our good friend Josh Newman for joining us at halftime. Check out Josh's great coverage in the Asbury Park Press as well as on Twitter at @Joshua_Newman. That's two games in a row. I got that right. Buddy, appreciate you joining us at halftime.
Appreciate it, man.
That's Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press joining Steve and I. We take one 30-second pause, and we're back with the second half of Monmouth and Iona right here on your home for Hawks basketball, the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.